The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello and welcome to Positively Pro-Life Podcast. Positively Pro-Life is brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation and aims to bring you inspirational stories and conversation, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm your host, Ramil Tani, Education Director at the Federation, and I'm joined today by Maria Gallagher, Acting Executive Director. Welcome, Maria, to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Ramil. It's great to be with you today.
And today is going to be a special episode, which is going to be in honor of the student contest that the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation sponsors each year for middle and high schoolers. Now, middle schoolers and high schoolers are encouraged to write or speak about a topic of their choice under the Life Issues umbrella, which is abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia. The winners of these contests win cash prizes, and the top winning essays are featured in our summer edition of Lifeline's newspaper. Now, we get entries from throughout the state, and a lot of times we see some very thought-provoking ideas and messages that I think needs to get out there for others to also hear them. So today's episode will be a react segment to a few quotes that I've pulled from some of the essays we received this year. I'm going to share a quick disclaimer. The winners have not been chosen yet. These are only examples of some thoughts that are so well articulated that we can ponder on it. So stick around, because I promise you that these are going to be good. And now here's Maria with her update. So let's hear from her.
Thank you so much, Ramil. You know, the pharmacy chains known as CVS and Walgreens announced March 1st that the dangerous abortion drug mifepristone would be sold in their stores in select states. A representative for CVS said the corporation would be dispensing the abortion pill in all of its stores in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Walgreens will be selling the drug in unidentified pharmacies in California, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, and Pennsylvania. We are extremely disappointed that the two largest pharmacy chains in the United States are offering abortion drugs, stated Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, which has affiliates in all 50 states. Mifepristone, the first drug in the two-drug process, was developed to take the life of an unborn child and always has the potential to harm the mother, Tobias added. This is the way the two-drug process works. A woman takes mifepristone to block the pregnancy hormone progesterone in order to starve the baby to death. Then the woman takes the second pill, misoprostol, to expel the body of the dead baby. The Food and Drug Administration originally approved misoprostol as an anti-ulcer drug. For some time, the National Right to Life affiliate where I work, the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, has been ringing alarm bells about drugstore sales of mifepristone, which is better known as the abortion pill. Our members around the Commonwealth have been writing and calling pharmacy chains, urging them not to dispense the dangerous drug. In addition to causing the death of an innocent, unrepeatable human being, the abortion pill can cause grave health consequences for women. Randall K. O'Bannon, the Director of Education and Research at National Right to Life, has been studying the effects of the abortion pill for years. He notes, even the FDA admits that these drugs will fail or come with complications for a number of women. When hundreds of thousands of women take these pills, even a couple of percentage points of women hemorrhaging, dealing with infections, or ectopic pregnancy means thousands of women desperately seeking emergency treatment, which may or may not be nearby. In addition, advocates for life note that women who take the abortion pill must deal with the trauma of seeing their dead babies expelled from their wombs. Medical professionals fear such a harrowing experience can lead women to suffer a host of psychological disturbances, including depression and suicidal thoughts. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments this spring regarding the FDA's decision to loosen regulations of the abortion pill. It is all the more appalling that the abortion pill is now available at local pharmacies, turning the corner drugstore into an abortion facility. Advocates for Life are engaging in nationwide protests of CVS and Walgreens in response. To learn more, please visit abortionpillprotest.com. Remmel.
Thank you, Maria, for that update. And if there is a Walgreens pharmacy near you, go join that protest on that day and make your voice known. Now, as I had previously mentioned, today we are going to hear some thoughts that our student contestants have shared in their essays. Now, this is how it's going to be. I'm going to be reading out what the students wrote, and Maria is going to comment on it and give us her thoughts. Now, I'm sure it's going to be very enlightening and educational for us all. So as we begin, are you ready, Maria?
I'm ready, Remmel. I can't wait to hear these comments.
All right, so where are our young people on life issues and what are they thinking? This first one is from one of our youngest contestants. Her name is Ella, and she is from grade 7. And her topic of choice was euthanasia. And as part of that, she writes, "It is unethical to kill innocent human beings. A sick or ill person normally enters a hospital or doctor's office to find a cure or someone to heal them. It is not a doctor's job to kill the patient, but to heal them."
You know, Ella is so wise, Remmel. And I don't understand why grown doctors, some doctors in the United States, don't understand this fundamental truth, which is that when you have euthanasia and assisted suicide, you are corrupting the medical profession. It's a profession for healing, not for harming. As noted in the Hippocratic Oath. So it's very dangerous for us to get involved in this whole issue of assisted suicide. You know, we have about 10 states where assisted suicide is now legal. We call it doctor-prescribed suicide. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that a doctor is prescribing a lethal dose of medication, really drugs, to kill a patient. It's appalling, and it shouldn't be allowed in a civilized society. And we find through research that so many of these people who request assisted suicide are actually suffering from depression. What they need is treatment for their depression. They don't need somebody to come along with a deadly dose of drugs to kill them. And every human being's life is precious and is sacred. And we need to honor that. And I think that Ella recognizes that. And it's to her credit at this young age that she realizes it's just unethical to kill innocent human beings, even under the guise of mercy.
Well said, Maria. I think she has said it so well that death cannot be a medical treatment. Death cannot be a cure, even for the suffering that the patient is going through, and that it's not a doctor's job to take the life, but to heal it. So our next contestant who entered was Faith, and she is from grade 8. So this is very personal because her essay was titled "Dear Mom," and she writes, this is addressed to her mom, her birth mom, and she says, "Because you chose life instead of abortion, I got to live. I got and get to live in a Christian home, and I get to go to church. I have lots of friends. I had the opportunity this summer to tell a little girl about Jesus. It made me so happy that she got saved, so happy that I was crying happy tears. I get to ride my horse, Chapstick, well, sometimes I fall off. I get to have lots of adopted brothers and sisters. I have 3 baby cousins. I even have a cousin named Faith, but we call her Big Faith so we don't get mixed up. I get to do the peppermint patty cool breeze running through my hair joke with my grandma. I get to see my half-sister and my pop-pop carve pumpkins every year. They have even come to church to see me sing in a girls' ensemble. I've gotten to swim in the ocean. I've also gone to Florida and swam with a dolphin. Now, these are such simple little moments of life that she says she gets to do because her mom did not choose abortion. Thoughts, Maria?
How beautiful this is, and how amazing that she's named Faith, because she obviously has a tremendous faith. And it's so moving when you think about the fact that this is a life that could have been lost were it not for that courageous woman who decided to go ahead with her pregnancy and to give Faith a chance. And we really need to honor birth mothers in this country, and we need to honor adoptive mothers because they save so many lives. And their example is just so very powerful. And I think it's interesting that Faith notes the little moments in life, but they're really the big moments. I mean, the fact that she's got to swim in the ocean. How many of us have had that experience where we saw the ocean for the first time and how wondrous that was? How many of us have treasured our grandparents like Faith does? You know, they're such a priceless gift. You know, she has so many adoptive brothers and sisters in her life. She obviously has a fantastic life. And mm-hmm. and the thing is that the pro-abortion side will say that these children will have miserable lives. And there is just no evidence to suggest that every child who is in danger of abortion will have a miserable life. They could have a quite wonderful life, a quite fulfilling life. We need to do more in this country really to recognize and honor adoption because it is a peaceful alternative to abortion. It is a nonviolent alternative to abortion. And it can result in so many happy endings. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the birth mother will be closed out of her child's life. In fact, open adoptions are very common nowadays. And the birth mother may get progress reports on her child. She may even get to see her child from time to time. And she may have a role in that child's life. And certainly after the child is born, the birth mother, after the child grows up, the birth mother has a tremendous role to play in that child's adult life. So I just credit Faith so much for having the wisdom to recognize the beauty of her own life.
And I also want to tell our listeners, this is not a standalone essay we received. There are multiple essays that we have this year where students have expressed that their parents once considered, their mother or their father, both parents considered abortion, some of them in their teens, and their moms kept them. Some of them were adopted, but some of them were brought up by their biological parents. And it's so beautiful that we have children speaking up against something that they themselves would have suffered through, right? These children might not have existed, and they recognize it. And now we have this beautiful voice of Faith in this world today, speaking to all of us the preciousness of her own life. So Faith and everyone else that has entered, we're so grateful to be able to hear you guys. And the next one I would like to share with our listeners, this is a very interesting proposition from a ninth grader named Ruby. Now, she goes on to talk about abortion, and she concludes with this. She says, "If people are still unsure whether they should be pro-life or not, I leave you with this. If you are 99% convinced that unborn babies are not alive, there is still a 1% of you that is unsure. Would you rather live your life knowing all lives are protected, or live your life with that 1% of you that knows you have innocent blood on your hands? The choice is yours. Whew.
That is so very moving. And it makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, where there is life, there is hope. And even if the chances are very remote, we should always err on the side of life. And that's what Ruby recognizes. And I wish more people recognize that fact. You know, the fact of the matter is that abortions are not legal simply to save a mother's life in this country. They're legal for any reason. Mm-hmm. And that reason may be simply that the woman doesn't have a place to stay. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that a shame in our great country of great prosperity that a woman could be forced into an abortion because of a lack of shelter? That's just appalling. It might be that the woman is being coerced into abortion by a boyfriend or husband or parent or grandparent. So she feels as if she's not making a free choice. It could be that the woman is struggling with school and she wonders how she's going to complete her education having a baby in tow. Well, can't we come to that woman's assistance and help her so that she can complete her college degree and also have her baby? She shouldn't have to choose between the two. It shouldn't be a choice between the degree and the baby. You can have both. Mm-hmm. And we need to be alert to the fact that when you have abortion on demand, you're going to have many healthy babies of healthy women who die.
And I don't think any of us could really stand behind that,
right?
With a conscious right? Like because it is at the end of the day, no matter the circumstances, the death of an innocent human being, a being that didn't really choose to be there, mm-hmm. to be an inconvenience. This baby didn't come there out of baby's choice. It happened from as a consequence of two grown adults' choices, but. This was one thing that really got me thinking too. Oh my goodness, like if there is a 1% chance that this baby is, I mean, even if I'm pro-choice and I don't believe that the baby is really a baby before they are born, if there is a 1% chance, then there's guilt on my hands. So thank you for that thought, Ruby. Now the next one that I have is a senior in high school. This is a little biblical. So if you're not religious, there is still something here for you because it's about choosing life. Now, she in her essay, she started off with a woman who is walking into the abortion clinic and abortion center, and she sees a sidewalk counselor standing with a sign that. Has a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19, and she says, which says, "I have set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live." And in conclusion to that quote, she goes on to say that the woman walked out of the center because of that, because of the choose life for you and your offspring part. And in the end, she says, God gives everyone a choice. But there is only one right answer. Choose life. I thought that was brilliant. Like, I mean, especially if you're spiritual and if you believe that God is the author of life, it is very contradictory to say that, you know, just because God has set life and death before you does not mean that death can ever be a right answer. So what do you have to say about that, Maria?
Well, I think it's important to realize that it's been Christian tradition that life should be protected at all stages and all phases. And it's only been in recent decades that you have had people who espouse religion and are also claiming to be quote unquote pro-choice. Mm-hmm. And it's astounding to me that people can look to the Bible and come away with anything other than the idea that the Bible supports life. You know, there are many passages to back up that belief. God knit me in my mother's womb, you know, and the whole story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she said yes to life at that moment. And the story about Elizabeth meeting Mary and the unborn child leaped in Elizabeth's womb. That's also an affirmation of life. I mean, it's so much in the Bible. Scripture supports the idea that life should be protected. And I think that people who argue against that from Scripture are clearly misunderstanding the Bible.
And that is echoed in every religious text, not just the Christian scripture. It's mm-hmm. in the Judaic traditions. It is Hindus have an idea of protecting life because life is sacred. So that is a concept that is ingrained in every human being, no matter the religion, no matter what your beliefs are. Even an atheist can come to that conclusion that life is sacred and must be protected. In Sarah's words, there is only one right answer, which is choose life. And moving on to our next, the next quote that I have here, this is Adriana from grade 10. She also has a very interesting perspective to share. And this is not about the baby, the unborn baby alone, but it is about the parents. So let's hear what she has to say. She says, all species of animals on Earth have two main missions, to find food and water and to reproduce. Those instincts are built into every puppy, kitten, and goldfish with good reason. If a creature cannot get enough food or water, it won't survive. If a creature cannot reproduce, the species won't survive or evolve. Humans are no exception to this rule. Although not all of us are called to be parents, it's in our design nonetheless. So just like our fellow creatures, the inclination to be parents is written into our psyche. Imagine how damaging it would be to take away the fulfillment of that instinct, to waste that potential. If that inclination that is woven through our body and soul is denied and taken away, wouldn't it be like sticking a wrench in the spokes of a moving bicycle?
Wow, that is just so profound. And I've never heard that argument before. It's very original. The whole idea of looking to the animal kingdom mm-hmm. and seeing the parallels with human beings. It's actually quite remarkable. There is little in the way that you can say against her argumentation. I think that it stands on its own.
That's true. It's so, it's like in this whole life issue, I mean, when we talk about the baby, when we talk about the woman, we're talking about needs and problems and the different stresses and all of these things, but she makes it sound so simplistic, right? Where she's just bringing it back to the most natural, one of the most natural aspects of what it means to be a creature, a human mm-hmm. being, just, you know, in one with nature. And that is to be a parent. And that is written in our very designs. That is that's something that we embody both as men and women. And so this the idea of having children and taking care of them is not foreign to the natural way of life.
Right.
It is we who have made that complicated. It is our rationalizing and justifying and trying to find a way around what is natural that has caused problems in this world. And Yeah, like you said, Adriana had a very original thought that I thought everyone should hear.
Yes.
It's a good response to people, whether it is about motherhood or fatherhood. Just because you can walk away does not mean that you should.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to go on to another one. I think we might just have this one. We might be running out of time, but this is Kyra, and she says, to be human is to possess something incredible, a soul which can love and feel and a mind which can rationalize and create. When it comes down to it, abortion is wrong because it destroys the gift of life. If human life, including our own, is to mean anything at all, its worth must be without exception.
Very powerful words there. And I think that we have to focus on the fact that abortion is destructive. I mean, a lot of people think, poof, the child is gone. And that's mm-hmm. not how it happens. Abortion is an inherently violent act. You're talking about suctioning out a baby or tearing the baby limb by limb from the mother's womb. It's abhorrent. And certainly we have great compassion for women who find themselves in unexpected pregnancies and women who face challenges. But abortion does not solve any of those problems. It only creates more.
That's true. And we have many more such thoughts. It's incredible to just read that these are our teenagers, our next generation of citizens who are going to come out and vote, come out and advocate. And we are so grateful to the people in their lives who are forming them, sharing with them the truth at such a young age that they can convey it themselves, even at this young age. So powerful to hear all of this. So with that, we will conclude today's session.
Thank you so much, Rimmel. Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with nearly 40 local county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals, from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. Thank you for joining us for the program today. It wouldn't be the same without you. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.